Amen. They sounded wonderfully, wonderfully well this morning. Seemed like they sounded better this morning than some other mornings. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brothers. Peace. We are delighted that God has seen fit in His all-wise providence to allow the wheels of our lives and our health and strength to roll on, and we're glad about that. And it's good to see some who have been out on our sick list back with us today. We want you to know that when you get the word that you're out sick, we start praying. Praying for your health to return soon. And you to, well, once again, come in fellowship and worship with us as we worship our God in spirit and in truth. This morning, prayerfully, you brought your Bibles. If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. And when you get there to chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30. We serve a loving God. You remember when Jesus came to earth and became an itinerant teacher at the age of 30. He chose 12 men to work with him to teach them and to train them to do his will, because he knew that he was not going to stay much longer. He stayed 3 years, of course, with them after that. Died, rose, went back to glory after coming and being here for 33 years for our benefit. And because of his love and the love of his Father. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And let us begin our reading at verse 9. You did bring your Bibles, correct? Yes. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of the land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments. Did you see that? He talked about the blessings, but it's based upon how you treat him. And his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall, I can't go up there. Who shall go up there for us in heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and also do it. But the word is very near, nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. Why? That thou mayest do it, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments. Why? That thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. For if thine heart, watch this now, but if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, that you shall surely perish, that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life, that both you or thou and your offspring or your seed may live. Let's do the truth we know. Let's do the truth we know. Do you think we need perhaps a new truth? A new truth for these kind of times in which we live? Is it the truth which we know that's outdated? Is it yesterday's truth out of sync, out of truth, out of touch with the way life goes today? In this modern age, in these modern times, do you think we need an updated truth which reflect the change and the philosophies and the moral and spiritual ideas of today's world? Our new president was swept into office on his pledge regarding change. In this decade, we understand that we are heavy with problems. We are rich with promises. We are rich with wars, recessions, population explosions, crime, drug addiction, teenage drunkenness, openly shacking up, openly homosexual, openly lesbian, extreme disregard for what thus saith the Lord. We have an abundance of this kind of thinking. In such an hour and in such an environment as this, it can be easy to contemplate or suppose or think that we need a new truth. This truth is old, it's obsolete, it's out of step. The old truth by now must be shop-worn, outdated, grossly inadequate. Moses is the one speaking from the book of Deuteronomy. His last address as the leader of the children of Israel. He won't be going with them crossing Jordan. He spoke to the children of Israel, who were about now, after 40 years of being stalled in the wilderness all because of disobedience. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, commencing with verse 11, "For this commandment," listen to it, "which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off from you. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who can go up to heaven to get this word for me? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who can go over the sea, get it and bring it back to us, that we may hear it and do it." Verse 14. But the word is very nigh or near unto thee, even in your mouth, even in your heart, that thou mayest do it. Aren't these words so adequate for our day? The word of God. We hear it. We know it in many cases. It's near us. All we need to do is open God's word. But even if we open it today, we are big and bold and braggadocious and have the nerve to defy God. There was one state that recently made a covenant with sin, set forth a law. Man, man, woman, woman can marry. And they have the law behind them if they want to adopt some children. That's what's in the last 30 days has happened. Moses said here long years ago, God's word at that time is nigh thee, in your mouth and in your heart. Why? That thou mayest do it. When we leave this world and go into judgment, we are not going to be judged by the rulers who were in office in America when we stand before God at the final roundup of human affairs. And that law, that God, we're going to be standing before him to be judged based upon what he has already given us. It will come as no surprise unless we refuse to study the word of God. The word of God, the truth needed, was not concealed by God then, neither is it concealed by God today. Therefore, there was no need to ask who will go up to heaven and bring it down. Neither was it humanely remote. They knew the word of God, just as most of us have some idea regarding what thus saith the word of God. The word was nigh unto thee, or their mouths, and in them it was in their mouth and in their minds for them to be able to know. What thus saith the Lord. Moses was saying to that motley crowd that what we need is not something that's dramatic. We don't need the unfolding of something new, some truth that you may find astonishing. What we need is individuals who are more committed and dedicated to obeying God's truth. But to obey God's truth, it's necessary to know God's truth. Ladies and gentlemen, in our days, our need, we go on asking for some new thing, claiming that's what we need. We need some new rules and regulations. It is far and far too many instances we mimic, we are like the Athenians of yesteryear. We spend our time either to hear or to tell what is called some new thing. We would be far better off to heed the word of God already given by Jesus Christ and his apostles. However new our decade may seem to be, the fact basic to our situation has not changed from the time of the children of Israel when Moses made this statement in the book of Deuteronomy. Human nature is the same in this nuclear age as it was before the invention of the wheel. That's a pretty long time ago, isn't it? Only the characters and the costumes and the settings have changed. But human nature is basically the same. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life still describes our day. The Word of God has not changed. God hasn't changed, neither has His Son changed. Years cannot change the who-ness of God. Years cannot change the who-ness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your Bible says, and mine does too, in the book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, "For I am the Lord." You're familiar with that? "I am the Lord, I change not." It's not human beings that we're going to be standing before at the final roundup of human affairs based upon Revelation chapter 20. We're going to be standing before God, and the books are going to be open. God keeps His own diary on every human being, and it's going to be open at the judgment. And His book is going to be open. What God did and what God said through His only begotten Son and through His chosen sons, the apostles, it has a once and for all-ness latched to it. What more can we say than what He has already said? He has given us His rules and regulations and guidelines. We live on His planet. He created us and gave us this place to dwell in forever until sin came along. What more can He do and what more can He say than what He has already said to us who have been redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Whatever is necessary for our salvation has already been declared, has already been done by Jesus Christ. Do you want it? The Holy Spirit has been promised and sent to enable not just the apostles. Of course, we won't be able to speak in tongues by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes with, Jesus came with orders. Holy Spirit came with orders. And the Holy Spirit that we are given when we are baptized into Christ Jesus comes with orders. But it doesn't bless us to speak in tongues like the apostles did. We can speak these different languages and know them, but it has its place. The saving word from God, the saving word from God is spoken or was spoken by the apostles, and it's recorded in the New Testament that we might have the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding of who we are and whose we are to become. The saving word of God is nigh unto us, and we need not pretend ignorance or an endeavor to storm the heavens for some better word, because I don't like this word. The word is nigh. The word is here. In our mouths and on our mouth and on our minds, that we might know it, and not just know it, but that we might also do it. Church, let's do. Where am I going? You know where I'm going. Let's do the truth we know. Do the truth we know. A renewed obedience to Christ. A renewed obedience in studying the Word of God. And to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Doing God's truth. What does doing God's truth mean to us? To you and to me. It means that we have the courage to follow Christ into a changing world. That we have the courage to follow Christ into a changing world. Christ has not failed us, but in some instances, far too many, we have failed Christ. We have tried to keep Christ closeted within four walls of a church building in far too many instances. Jesus Christ is not just Lord of four walls. Jesus Christ is Lord everywhere, all the time. Christ is Lord of the world as well as of the church. And we must have the courage, the knowledge and the courage to follow Christ out into the cross-driven and the surging changes of humanity. We always find Jesus when he was down here with us. He was always where the action was. Where are we to be? Where the action is. Where the action is. This may mean new definitions or new discipleships, new insight, new understanding, doing the truth, of God always means giving a more dynamic expression in our lives by his faith at the personal level as well as the collective level. Too many are willing to give Christ place, but not willing to give him priority. We seem to forget that if Jesus Christ does not matter to us, he will not matter to the world. We must demonstrate, sons and daughters of God, we must demonstrate the fitness and the firstness of our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's very, very needful that we demonstrate that we are closer to Christ than to anyone or anything else on this planet. That said, it means that sooner or late, we must put to ourselves questions about how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we spend our influence. Discipleship demands an answer in the affirmative. It seems that some have time for everything else but that which matters most in human lives. We give ourselves over to television addiction in some cases, at the expense of unopened Bibles. I know where it is when I get ready to pick it up if I'm going to church. But if it ain't Sunday and I ain't going to church, pardon my colloquialism, is not, excuse me. Too often, we go a whole 7 days, all week, with unopened Bibles. Too often, greeters are not in abundance, but they're lacking, so they're lacking. Too often, Bible school teachers are not in abundance, lacking. And I've got some more things here. Because many who could do the jobs jealously guard their hours and refuse to become involved. Let somebody else do it. We are to be workers together. What shall I say about our Let me read what my note says. What shall I say about our giving, sharing with the Lord what He has blessed us with? He has blessed us with the whole check. How much are we willing to share with Him? We are richly blessed by our God, even in these financial times. We are richly blessed. You can't look up there because that's not a mirror. But you looked at the mirror before you came here. Look how wonderfully you're dressed. And all of us look like we are well fed. And how blessed we are. Dine sumptuously. What shall we do? Even in this environment, we have a great responsibility, and we thank God for it, to share the abundance that God gives us. He wants us to share that with His Son, Jesus Christ. It is His Son who died, left heaven, spent 33 years on planet Earth. He has blessed us. Without His work, without His gift, we would be hopeless and helpless, doomed to an eternal hell. But because He was not selfish, because He loved us enough to leave His Father, come to earth, and then die. Not a natural death, but crucified. Not for Himself. For us. For us. May we not be guilty of spending more money on animal care than on His cause. We can restrict the church's role in the community and in the world by a continuing determination to finance the kingdom of God with loose change. With leftover cash. And perhaps some, I don't have any more to give. I don't have any to give. We must demonstrate the fitness of our Lord Jesus Christ in the whole of our lives. Not just in the certain segments of our lives. I'll come, but I won't give. I'll sing, but I won't give. If I had to give, it'll be a precious plenty, a little bit. Let us pray, church, that God will continue to bless us, to be a role model church for each other and for other churches of Christ. The word is nigh thee. we must demonstrate the fitness of Christ in our lives, in all of our life, all of our life, in every area of our life. Let us pray that God will continue to bless, that we might have the wisdom and the courage to do the truth we know, and to study His Word, fellowship with the community of believers, and worship Him on a regular basis, that we might be a source of inspiration and encouragement to others, an example for the world, and pleasant dreams, pleasant observations of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. Say not who shall go up to heaven or across the sea to bring God's word unto us. It is nigh unto us. We have it. We have it. But do we study it? In closing, you see, I've been waiting to hear that. It is still, no matter what laws may be instituted by governments, it is still right and righteous in the sight of God to marry and not shack up, to have sexual relations only in marriage. It is still right in the sight of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Demonstrate Christianity in your daily life. Dress right, talk right, act right, and forsake not the assembling of yourselves together with other Christians, other members of the body of Christ. And be ready again, I reiterate, for every good work. In your present state, in your present state, right now, today, if God saw fit to call you into eternity, what will your future be like? If He called you today, we don't know when we're going to be called. What will you hear Him say? Will you hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant"? Or, "Depart from me. Depart from me. Not only I don't know you now, I never knew you. You disregarded me. You can't come and live where I prepared for my obedient children." Which would it be? What will you hear? What are you preparing to hear? What are you prepared to hear? What do you want to hear? Wisdom says, you want to hear Him say, "Come, you blessed, and enjoy the glories of heaven." I don't want to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The decision is not in God's hand. The decision where you spend eternity, where you spend eternity, but we make that decision by the life which we live. And He tells us ahead of time. He tells us ahead of time. That decision is not in God's hands. We make the decision. He gives us the instructions. We decide which instructions we want to obey. What will your answer be? Heaven? Or hell? Put yourself in a right position. Put yourself in a right relationship with God. God has blessed us through the love of His Son to have that privilege. Put yourself in position. Put yourself in a relationship with God that you can read about in the Holy Scriptures. And it's not difficult. It's not difficult. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all the blessings that God has will be added unto you. Jesus told His apostles, you remember? He says, now I want you to go to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 1. And I want you to wait there until my Father sends you the Holy Spirit. That's going to guide you into all truth. Did you understand that? All truth. Think about it. All truth requires all truth. The apostles were baptized in Acts chapter 1, the latter part of Acts chapter 1, with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had given them the Holy Spirit earlier, but He had given them with the Holy Spirit to only give them so much power. Acts chapter, John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. But when we come to Acts chapter 1, in Jerusalem, upper room, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance or gave them the words. If you don't read it in the Bible, it didn't come from the apostles who were guided by the Holy Spirit. People are doing all kind of things nowadays. You have a church here, a church there, here, a church there, a church everywhere, church. Preacher, you preach against churches? No. I preach the Word of God. The Word of God preaches against churches that don't belong to Jesus. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How much is one? How many is one? If you only have $1, you know, don't you? You know how many is one. Less than two and more than none. You understand that? One Lord, one faith, one baptism is what the Bible says. You want to be a member. You want to be a member by the grace of God to that one church, obeying that one gospel that the Lord has sent to us as a gift in His holy book called the Bible, first to the apostles, then to us. The only church you read about in your Bible is the church that the apostles established through the preaching of Peter in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. That's the only church you read about that Jesus established, that the apostles established, that the Holy Spirit established. And Paul writes in his letter, salute the churches of Christ, which He has purchased with His own blood. In the book of Romans, your Bible. Wisdom says, look for the church that the Bible talks about. Not for folk who come up with a name of their own, disregarding He who died, all who came all the way from glory, died for His church. And now you're going to name it. You're going to decide how many He's going to build. You're going to decide what's taught. He didn't die for that. It's His church, His laws, His rules, His regulations, His blessings for us. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. If you're here this morning and you're in a church that the Bible does not authorize, that the apostles establish, what are you going to tell God at the final roundup of human affairs based upon Revelation chapter 20? You want to be in the Lord's church. It's very simple. All you got to do is read Hebrews, Acts chapter 2. The people on the day of Pentecost, when the apostles were preaching for the first time with the Holy, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they preached. Peter shared with them that same Jesus that you all crucified 50 days ago. He's alive and gone back to glory. When they heard this, they were pricked or shocked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of God. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this wicked generation. That's Peter still preaching to them. Then he said to them in the next verse, repent, be godly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you know what will happen? God will add you to his church. To his church. If it didn't start on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem through the preaching of the Apostle Peter, it ain't the Lord's church. Pardon my colloquialism, ain't. You say, well, you preach like that preacher, you get folk upset. I'm not worried about upsetting folk. I'm concerned about upsetting God. Because I want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And my responsibility is to live that kind of life by the grace of God and to share with others that this is where what the Lord says. And the Lord only has one church that he saves folks in on planet Earth. You say, well, what about all those people? I can't tell you about all those people. All I can tell you is about all what God says. God will handle all those people. Now, if you want to take your chances with something that God didn't establish through the preaching of the apostles, that's your choice. God doesn't make us obey his word. You decide. But don't you think it's better to obey God? He loved us enough to send his only begotten son to die for us, that we might have a hope of eternal life with him. We're going to live forever somewhere. But we must obey God to live with him in eternity. The choice is yours. May God bless you to make a God-honoring decision as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Careless, oh, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh,